Eve, agus fáilte go dtíon chlár, come and look class gael a shocklan a shocklan a meet Tom Cormack with you as usual between now and 9 o'clock and always as we say at this time, hope you can stay with us. Coming up tonight, well, we're joined by former Derry coach and well-known Derry GAA personality Chris Brown, and Chris is going to go down memory lane with us as we recall 50 years ago when Derry won a very first ever All-Ireland Minor Football Championship title and St Columb's of Derry completed a unique double by winning the college's one and only ever All-Ireland Senior Colleges Hogan Cup Final, and we look back on 50 years ago with Chris, who was actually a member of that double winning side and is among a rare group of players all over nationally with both All-Ireland Colleges and Hogan Cup medals in his locker. So that should be interesting. We'll talk to Chris in a moment. But just to remind you again, of course, Fermanagh are through to an Ulster semi-final. They will play De Monaghan in a couple of weeks' time after defeating Antrim last Sunday in Brewster Park. And it's Derry and Down who are up next in the Ulster Senior Football Championship race. That game is on in Celtic Park on Sunday. And of course the winners of that tie will play either Donegal or Armagh, who play in the last of the quarterfinals next week down in the Athletic Grounds. And well, Donegal Miners continued their successful defence of the Ulster Minor Championship title with another victory at the weekend, of course having defeated Tyrone in the preliminary round in Ballybofey a number of weeks ago. Declan Bonner took his Miners to the Athletic Grounds in Armagh on Sunday evening and they came away with a convincing victory. So they go through to the Ulster Minor semi-final where they will play the winners of either Derry or Down, who also meet in Celtic Park on Sunday afternoon in the curtain raiser to that senior championship game. Our congratulations also to Termin Ladies who completed their own piece of history on Sunday evening in Ardrah and the Comórtas Pell na Gaeltachta. They made it 6 All-Ireland Senior Championship titles in a row. Commiserations to Glenn Finn, and well, I suppose it was a great disappointment for the people of Ardrah and the Ardrah club for the first time in the 46 year history of Comórtas Pell na Gaeltachta. Unfortunately, due to the inclement weather and a waterlogged pitch and driving rain, Monday's finals were cancelled due to those conditions, and but otherwise I think the weekend went very well, and congratulations and commiserations to Ardrah. But I do believe those finals will be replayed in a couple of weeks time, and hopefully the wet weather will improve for that. But as I said, our focus tonight isn't so much on what's happening at the moment, or indeed we may talk to Chris Brown in a moment or later on in the programme about Derry and Down into action in Celtic Park on Sunday in the Ulster Senior Football Championship quarter-final and the Oak League's prospects in that tie against their arch-rivals Down. But first of all, Chris, a very good night and welcome to the airwaves.
Tom, thank you very much indeed, and glad to be speaking to your listeners in both in Donegal and hopefully in the city and the North Tyrone as well.
Yeah, and then tell me, obviously a great week of celebration coming up, a double success 50 years ago.
Years ago, as I said to one of my fellow colleagues in Rutledge Recruitment where I worked this today, I must have been only 12 when I played for this team, you know.
Yeah. Well, of course, double success, as I said, All-Ireland Hogan Colleges title. You were mixing with the big boys then and then went on to win an All-Ireland Minor Championship title.
I come on a great quote there tonight from a guy called Padraig Purcell. He said that a team makes its own traditions. And he says if he had been given out Oscars for that weekend, he said the whole lot would have went to the boys of St. Columb's College in Derry. He said that you make your own tradition. And I thought to myself, that was a very apt comment from Padraig Purcell, who at that time was writing for the Irish Press all those years ago, you know.
And that Hogan Cup success was the first of those, of that double. Tell us about all that and how it came about and where that great team came from.
Well, it came as a result of probably I could trace it back to a president of the college, Father Farnas. We knew him, and he was a nephew of the bishop. But we all started. It started possibly with a McLaren Cup and a Ranafast Cup of about 61-62, and they appeared in a couple. I think they might have won a McLaren Cup. They certainly won a Ranafast Cup in the early days, and two or three of the greats at that time, none more so than the Donegal people, will remember him very well, and I certainly looked up to him in those days, was the great Frankie McFeely. He's one of the legends in my eyes. Funny enough, we met a few times, and this came about actually through the good offices of Father Andy Dolan, who's a brother of Brendan Dolan, God rest him, who actually played fullback on our team and later played fullback for Tyrone. But he initiated the whole idea of a banquet 50 years on, and Frankie McFeely's name kept coming back again and again and again. Has been one of the, probably one of the great players that actually ever played for St. Columb's College. The other one was a great man from Ross Lake called Felix Quigley. He went on actually to play for the, he got into the really good Down team, Larry Powell and all those guys, the guy Leo Murphy and O'Neill and those ones, and I thought it was no small measure of him. He was actually teaching probably around Kerry Duff or somewhere. Other great players, Tony O'Connor. But they all were actually appearing in what I would call in competitive sport, probably for the first time. But even before that, Leo and Jerry O'Neill, elder brothers of the great Martin O'Neill, who was also much younger than us, Tom Scullion from my own club here in Ballaghy, Brian Devlin from Castle Dawson, all those guys would have went through St. Columb's College, and were all boarders. So there's a great influx of South Derry guys who were all Gaelic footballers, and North Tyrone, and a sprinkling from the city, and quite a number from Donegal, from the hinterland, you know.
Yeah, and as we said, it was the first success. You may have had McLarnon's success and Ranafa's success up to that. What was that like coming in the college? How was that celebrated, or what was it like in those times?
Probably low-key, in that we didn't really, we made our own tradition. We didn't really know much about playing outside. And ironically, the first game ever I played, and it is a funny story in 1965 that we actually played in a round robin, as I think they still do it to this day, in the McCrory Cup. But we actually played at Letterkenny against St. Eunan's, and it ended in a draw.
Yeah.
So St. Eunan's can take a credit for a bit of the history. So we went on to beat Abbey, and then we beat St. Michael's in the Skill, all in the round robin. And then we played St. McCartan's of Monaghan. We had actually a nucleus of guys from different parts, of, you know, different traditions in that. We had quite a few boys from South Derry, but we also had Tony O'Doherty, who actually, I see it quoted in the McCrory Cup book there by Aidan Walsh, that he said he treasures his Hogan Cup medal alongside his Northern Ireland jersey when he played against England at Wembley 5 years later in 1970. But Joe Cassidy was from the city as well, played youth international. Of course, Barney Mullen, Brendan Mullen, went on and scored 3 goals, I think, in his debut for Fulham. And I was talking to none other than the other great guru of Derry Hogan Cup campaigns, Adrian Movement. And Adrian claimed that Brendan Mullen, now this is some speak, Brendan Mullen would have had to, had he stayed at Gaelic football, would have been greatest of them all.
Yeah, that's some tribute coming from
man who knew.
Yeah, yeah. And tell me, what was the coaching like? Who were the coaches? Was there managers in place that time?
There was a Father Iggy McCullen, a Father Ignatius McCullen. Whenever he was well out of earshot, we called him Big Iggy, but you wouldn't have called him that to his face, let me tell you. But he was a man way ahead of his time. He was from Newton Butler, but he probably saw, we had small internal leagues in that, in junior school, you know, and he would have saw probably a bit of potential of boys that could play the game, you know, and he bonded us together. And the training was tough enough, and at the end of the day, we were training maybe twice a day.
Yeah. Of course, you had that liberty because you were boarders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most of us were boarders. Now, Tony O'Doherty, with the greatest respects to him, and I hope he hears me tonight, that he wasn't the greatest trainer, but he was at that stage playing for Coleraine Soccer Club, and he would have been getting a more, probably what I would call a more streamlined type of coaching in terms of movement and body movement and all of that. But McQuillan was a man way ahead of his time. Apart from his ability to coach, he he's a master tactician, you know. And he was heavily helped by, of course, the geography teacher at the time was Sean Mounin, a big, tough, rough Kerry man who brought his own traditions to bear on our team, you know.
Mm. And was Gaelic the big game in the college that time?
Well, there was no outside sport of any kind, actually, at that stage. You know, was, in those days, and we're going back a long time here, Tom, main emphasis was on, you know, you were at a border and you were inside, you know, and that was it. And at the end of the day, a lot of us guys had won scholarships from local primary schools here, and we were, you know, people were poor and they couldn't have afforded to have, paid to go to a college like that. And there was very little choice at that time in South Derry, you know, and we were privileged in a way, you know. We didn't think that as boarders at the time, for we were forever hungry. But we were probably privileged in getting an education for the first time, you know.
And was there any kudos for playing football and maybe winning Ulster, McCrory's and All-Irelands?
No. I mean, other than the fact that you were really, really appreciated by all and sundry, you know, and we always got the promissory free day on the Monday after we brought the Hogan Cup back. But it's all about reminiscence. I mean, I actually rang Paddy McCotter there. He now lives in St. Ives in Cornwall. He's a vet. And I rang him on actually May Day morning to check that he was coming over and all the rest. And he was out sowing grass seed. I says, McCotter, you can take the farmer out of Kilray, but you can never take Kilray out of the... You could never take the man out of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And what was it like when you left Ulster? Who did you play?
Well, funny enough, we played one of the great teams of colleges football. There was two or three really great teams at that time. One was St. Mel's of Longford, who Belkamp must have conquered on the way in. And the other was St. Jarrett's of Tuam.
Yeah.
Powered by the great Jimmy Duggan. And in fact, Jimmy Duggan is going to honour us with his presence on Saturday night.
Brilliant.
And it's a measure of the man himself, you know, and how that man, only the GAA could answer how that man, okay, the All-Stars didn't start to 1971, but he was a student in 65, you know, so he must have been near enough. And
I think he won an All-Ireland at minor, did a senior when he was...
Of course, he never won an All-Star. He was one of the great Galway players. You could put him alongside, I can recall as a small boy, Frank Purcell, Sean Purcell, Frank Ivers and Frankie Stockwell, you know. But Duggan came at a latter time than that, you know, and there was great play, John Layden, and you remember those guys, you're a Scommon man, you remember all those?
I remember them too well.
Too well, I would have thought, you know.
And tell me, who did you play in the final?
Well, funny, we played Belkamp, who were from Raheny, up for, God rest, Charlie Howie's country, up in North Dublin.
That well-known Derry man.
They had much smaller numbers than we had, and they... They had a fantastic team, and funny enough, one of the guys is coming along. I have talked to two or three of them because I'm in the organising committee of both these teams. But one of the main drivers of it is actually an ex-headmaster of St. Mary's in Limavady, Sean Bradley. But Luke Baxter played right back on the Belkamp team. All our great players at the time, I'm just looking at them. Frank Cummins, who actually fisted the equaliser in the drawn game at Bethnal Park and took it to a replay. I remember, I saw actually in the notes later or some of the match reports that I scored a goal. I can't remember anything like that. As I always knew, even when I was coaching, you always remember the defeats, but I never took much store in the victories.
Frank Cummins won one All-Ireland hurling
He was a colossus playing midfield for
Kilkenny.
For Kilkenny hurlers. He actually now lives in Cork, and I talked to him a couple of weeks ago there, but it was a poor line and I couldn't quite hear him. Another man was Tommy Carew, of course, from Kildare, who helped Mick O'Dwyer in the 1991 campaign.
Yeah.
And Mick O'Dwyer was
it went to a replay, did it?
It went to a replay, and funny enough, we got it back to Ballybay. Father McQuillan was a genius at trying to tell people distances, and St. Columb's College, I think, was somewhere near Scotland, you know. it was always a halfway venue, but we were able to manage that. But no, it was a very, very, very tight game, and Tony O'Doherty, I say, was one of the stars of the team. He was a real one of the worst, and he probably was very fit from playing sort of semi-professional soccer player, you know.
And how did he manage? The ban was in place that time. How did he manage that?
That was an issue all on its own, but Father McCullen, being the genius that he was, there was quite an amount of problem with the ban and anybody playing soccer football as it was at that time. But he went on the premise that St. Jarrett of Tuam, in the event of us beating them,
yeah,
were such a big name in colleges. You talk about reverse psychology. They were such a big name in colleges football that they wouldn't object in any event.
Yeah, the shame of being beaten, they couldn't imagine that. Yeah.
You talk about a guy being ahead of his time, but as well as that, he also said that all pupils in a college should be open to play whatever sport is available to them. There's a fair logic in that, you know, if you take it to more modern.
Yeah, and so what, in 5 years later, I think the ban went, was it anyway, 70, was it around 70, wasn't it?
Probably, something like that.
Yeah, funny, the man that had been moving and pushing and driving, the driving force behind the change for years, as he actually died recently in Dublin, Tom Wolfe of Kerry. He was involved with the Civil Service Club. He was a civil servant in Dublin.
He was ironically, there's a link with that, and I think, I could be wrong now, but God rest him, I think he has just passed away, or maybe it's just a colleague of his, a good friend of mine, Paddy Crozier, would have played with Civil Service in Dublin, with Garrett O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I don't know now, I could be wrong on the man, but Garrett O'Reilly actually played against Derry Miners in that same year.
Yeah.
55, and he played also for...
Anyway, I know you have a celebration coming up on Friday or Saturday night. We'll talk about that in a moment. But come on to the Miners then. Obviously, was there many of you from the college team going through to the squad, the Miner squad?
Yeah, just to pull you back, if you don't mind.
No, yeah.
The banquet is in the Da Vinci's Hotel on Saturday night at 6:30 for the college team, and there will be an open session. There'll be an open session in the St. Columb's College Assembly Hall. Now, St. Columb's College is on the Buncrana Road for the boarders that never went back there again. St. Columb's College is now on the Buncrana Road, as you would know.
Yeah.
And there's a celebration of memories and support for some of the players' families of some of the lads who have died, actually, you know.
Yeah. And who's coming to that? Is there people coming from far away?
Joe Castings lives in Canada. Malachy McPhee come the whole way from Australia. In fact, I've just heard last night that he's home.
Malachy played with Derry Seniors afterwards. He was a great player, wasn't he?
Sorry?
Malachy played with Derry Seniors afterwards, didn't he?
Malachy was a colossus, yeah.
Yeah.
He really was. There was one. Oh, I'm a guy that I haven't seen for 50 years. Mickey P. Kelly. Mickey Butts, as any of your ex-college listeners would have remembered him. Mickey Butts has come from New York. I haven't seen him for 50 years.
My God.
And he's coming. He played on cornerback. He played four on both teams. But no, there'll be a celebration, and it's free to anyone to come along to that. It's in the college hall at 8:30 on the Saturday night.
Yeah.
But on the Sunday, yeah, there was seven or eight of the team that went on to for Derry Miners. And the same year, it was probably the backbone of the Derry Miner team that won the All-Ireland.
And who were those players?
I'm actually going through the team here. Mickey P. Kelly would have been one. Colin P. Mullen, God rest him, was two. There's an interesting story about that as well. God rest, Colin P. was injured coming from Maynooth. Brendan Dolan was killed going to school during the week to teach. He hit his car or was at the Victoria Bridge and he was killed. But Colin P. Mullen had borrowed a car from some of the tutors or the lecturers in Maynooth, and he was driving up and crashed the car somewhere about Monaghan, coming to Brendan Dolan's wake.
My God.
He was in a wheelchair ever after, but he died there a few years ago. So God rest Colin P. He played right half back on the Derry team. Malachy McAfee, of course, was centre-half. Tom Quinn was a full-back. I was a sub on the team. I was on and off it because of injuries, etc., etc. Paddy McCotter, actually, although he was from Kilray, he was overage. Brendan Mullen, a great player, was on the team, as was Seamus Legg, and a colossus. Seamus Mullen was probably the tallest player we had, about 6'7". A real tall player. So it was six or seven.
Yeah. And who were the other big names on that minor team?
Well, of course, you couldn't go past Eamon Coleman. The biggest, probably since that, the biggest name of all on the Derry team. I'm looking at a picture of them here. And God rest Sean O'Connell was the manager, along with a little man called Father Seamus Shields, a fellow Seamus McCluskey from Drum was the full forward. But Mickey Niblock was probably one of the great Derry players, played centre half forward in that time. Yeah. Of course, the captain of the team was from my own club mate of my own. We soldiered for years afterwards for Ballaghy and Derry, Tommy Diamond. He was the captain of the team that year.
Yeah, so, and obviously won Ulster and then went on to the All-Ireland.
Yeah, we sure did. Well, funny enough, we beat Donegal in the first. This will be a surprise for your listeners. We played Donegal actually at Dungiven, so times have changed massively when you think of the big hype will be actually that day in Ballybuffet when Donegal played Tyrone Miners, and Derry will be playing down on Sunday at 12:15 in the minor match. But this was, I can recall it was playing, and I suspect it was maybe a Friday night. Yeah. Or maybe a Sunday. I can't recall when it was, but I remember being carried off with a cartilage injury, and I didn't play away back to the semi-final. We beat Cavan in the Ulster final. Mm. And then we played your own county. We played Roscommon, and a real nail-biter. Dermot Early and one or two other big names were playing. A very good Roscommon team, who I think won a minor title next year. They certainly won an under-21.
That's right, I think 2 years later, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but... that was 4-8 to 4-5, and really, really tight struggle. Mm. And
who did you beat then in the final?
Well, who do you always beat in a final at that stage? But the Kerry team, you know.
Yeah.
So we won it 2-8 to 2-4, and well, it was fantastic celebrations, you know.
And that was a first, wasn't it? A first minor, first All Ireland for the county, really.
Derry's first. Funny enough, I had gathered a group of them together, mostly South Derry lads, at the start of this adventure, but maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago in the Golf Club in Castle Dawson, and Tommy Diamond was there, Adrian McGuckin came along, John Joe Kearney, who actually managed the Slachneil team, who got to the All Ireland Club final this year.
Yeah.
And Jerry O'Loughlin and Tom Quinn, and we were just sitting around reminiscing, you know, about, and I think that's what these 2 weekends will be. It'll be just reminiscences of, not so much about football, but of the events at the time, and certainly it was the nucleus of the success of Derry football at a later stage. The three All-Ireland minor titles we won after it, the managers came out of that particular 65 team. John Joe Kearney won it in 83. Eamon Coleman won the All-Ireland with Anthony Tuchel's team in 89. And I won again with Gerard O'Kane's team in 2002. Mm. So it's amazing that the three managers came off that Derry minor team.
Yeah, and of course a lot of them would have been on that great Derry team of the 70s. You talk about Malachy McAfee, you talk about Mickey Niblock, you know, all those guys.
Adrian McGuckin, and those boys all held together. You know, and we had the nucleus of a fairly good side, but Derry football was on the up at that stage, you know.
Yeah.
But we're having a banquet, and I'm putting on another.
I was just going to ask you about that. That's on Sunday, is it?
That's in the City Hotel. That's where I got confused there. The Derry Minor presentation is in the City Hotel, and there's apparently still limited tickets available, and the meal is at 6:30. It's a presentation banquet to celebrate all our success, but more so to support families, I say, whose loved ones have passed on. And
yeah, because quite a few of that team, I noticed, has passed on.
Yeah, well, there's a few, all right. Eugene McCall, who actually went into goals that weekend against Kerry, was killed actually near Fore Glen football pitch. I'm sure some of your listeners will know that.
Passing to Belfast, everybody knows, or going to Owen Beg or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Colin P. Mullen, of course, which he died there just a few years ago. A great man, although he was, well, he never was incapacitated in that sense. He obviously didn't play after that, but he had a great mind, Colin Mullen, and he died, as I say, a few years ago. Eamon Coleman himself, probably the greatest Derry man of us all, and passed away a few short years ago. Another man you probably wouldn't have known of, John McGlone, who was in the periphery of the team at that time, died quite a number of years ago, 25, 30 years ago, was from the Ballinas Screen Club. Of course, Sean O'Connell himself. Sean O'Connell managed that team at age 28. He was quite a young man.
Yeah,
and he was managing, and he was still playing, of course, for Derry.
Look, Chris, we could reminisce all night. Unfortunately, the clock is about to beat us here, but it's been great talking to you, and it's great going down memory lane. And
okay, Tom.
The old memory's still quite good. I know you had notes, and you had...
I had a pile of notes here. For God's sake, Tom, I wouldn't know where I left my pen. And you didn't even mention Derry Seniors on Sunday.
What do you think? They'll beat down, will they?
Well, we're due a result in Celtic Park, you know. And we have Skinner, everybody knows Skinner, Owen Bradley back at full forward. And I would love to see, for the sake of some of my minors, or ex-minors, for Mark Lynch and a guy I trained down at Clady End of Lynn, I'd love to see those guys getting a bit of a break, you know. And I feel that they might just share it on the day, you know, that there's probably new faces on both teams. But if they can watch Mark Boland, who I heard today was declared fit, and a little guy, Connor Lavery, who plays Connor forward, who's a real good player. Keelan Mooney, who was in Australia, the Aussie rules. But I feel Derry, big Fergal Doherty's in shape, and they all look to him. You know, he reminds me of the colossus that McCotter was in my time, and also probably Adrian McGuckin and those guys. You know, there's always a go-to man on any team, you know.
And just finally, before you go, remind us again, St. Columb's celebration is when and where?
And the St. Columb's Assembly Hall, which is on the Moncona Road, and anybody can come along free of charge at 8 o'clock, 8:30, and the Derry Minor one is in the City Hotel, and there's still tickets available for that, and the meal is at 6:30 in the City Hotel. But it'll be a great wing. We're also being, the minor team has been presented to the crowd at halftime in the senior game. At halftime in the Derry senior game, we're going to be presented to the spectators at Celtic Park.
Chris Brown, thank you indeed for joining us and reminiscing, and certainly we enjoyed that, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. That's it from this week's GAA programme. Good evening, Shachlan Shahogan. Oh, me, Tom Cummick, for my special guests, Chris Brown, and from Jimmy Stafford, who engineered. Until next week, Slán agus Beannacht.